on the field, inside the clubhouse, and everything in between. This is Brewers Weekly. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Okay, in 3, 2, 1. Welcome, 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 everybody, into Brewers Weekly, a recorded version this week given last night's State of the Union. I'm Dominic Catronio, recording here Friday morning, so this will be great for your afternoon commutes or some point over the weekend. We're checking in today, really all about the battery today, all about catching and pitching. Plenty of audio to get to. We'll hear from Freddie Peralta. We'll hear from Colin Ray. We'll hear from Aaron Ashby. We'll hear from Robert Gasser. We'll hear from JB Bukauskas. We'll hear from Eric Haas. But where we're going to start is we're going to start on William Contreras. We've got a lot of remarks to get to here from Pat Murphy on William Contreras and his impact on Jefferson Caro, for that matter, too. But this week has been a really sort of, all right, we're getting the big picture here. We're starting to see what all of these moves were all about. So let's just start here with some injury updates, though, before we get any deeper into this. Sounds like all systems go for Gary Sanchez from the live ABs the last couple of days. He's been on the field. He has been catching lives. He just hasn't obviously been throwing because it's his right hand that's the issue. Hasn't been throwing like full speed back to the pitchers, but it sounds like he's progressing day by day. And the Brewers had initially hinted at maybe being like March 14th as being the day that he could get into some Cactus League play. Pat Murphy actually hinted on Thursday that might be sooner than that. So that's some good news in that regard. We'll also talk to Eric Haas about what I call a three-man weave of all of those guys trying to figure out if they're going to carry three catchers or if it's just going to be two and what Eric Haas can do, because he's had an absolutely scorching spring. He's on his way to Las Vegas. They're playing there tonight. Another injury update is on Wade Miley. Wade Miley threw a 17-pitch bullpen. The next step would be a simulated game on the backfields. Pat Murphy assured us that the 50-50 was a little bit of a, you know, I don't think that was the right phrasing he wanted to say. And I know that's the quote that got kind of sent around the world of, oh God, Wade Miley's 50-50 opening day. And Murph went on to a long, you know, soliloquy, if you will, of just talking about, okay, if a guy's not available for opening day, but he's available 2 weeks later, I'm fine with that. I want to make sure that these guys are in it for the long haul, especially a guy like Wade Miley, given all of his injuries last season, and trying to make sure that the Brewers pitching staff can have somebody like Wade Miley participating and being a very important piece moving forward. I've seen a lot of questions about, okay, what is the rotation actually going to look like? It is not going to be traditional. And I know I hinted at this last week, but I'm really, really making it clear. It is not going to be what you expect. It is not, obviously, Burns, Woodruff, Peralta, three-headed monster, fill in the rest after that. It is not going to be that. We know Freddie is the one. I imagine DL Hall will be the two or the three. But then after that, it's going to be wide open. And it's not going to be your traditional, all right, this guy's got to go six innings and see what we can get out of him. I think the Brewers are going to get very, very creative with piggybacks, with set the lineup with the lefty, and throw to the righty. That kind of thing is what we're going to see a lot. And a key factor in that, very quietly, in a split squad the other day, Bryce Wilson. He threw three innings the other day, faced nine hitters. He had a really good day. He continues to build up. Pat Murphy said, we're kind of in this range now, in this next week, given we're less than 3 weeks away from opening day, that we need to decide, okay, are we going to be building you up to continue to get four or five up-downs, or you know what, let's peel it back, let's stick you around 2 to 3 and keep that as your role. So that those decisions are looming. But I can envision a route where you start Aaron Ashby, the lefty, right? But he's only going to face maybe 12 to 15 outs. And then you flip it because they've loaded that lineup with righties. You flip it and you bring in Jacob Junis now for the next, let's say, 6 to 10 outs or something of that regard. So let's say, best case scenario, you've probably only got 3 outs remaining. And then you hand it to Devin and get it done. Or if you need somebody to come in and get a fire out, you bring in Hobie and you get that left on left, whatever. They can be creative in that regard. Or vice versa, right? They can use, let's say, Joe Ross to start a game. They load things up with lefties. And then maybe Robert Gasser appears. He's not on the 40-man yet, and we're going to talk to Robert as well. He's not on the 40-man yet, but then you bring in Robert, and you bring that new look, and all these lefties have to deal with Robert Gasser and find his lane and this extended sort of, I know it's a council term, but out-getters is going to be a bigger piece of this. And the Brewers are going to have to get creative while they build up. Freddie's going to expect to go long, and we're going to talk to Freddie in a little bit too, but Freddie's expecting to have a big year. I think DL Hall is primed to have a great year as they continue to build him up and make sure they build him up the right way. Wade's going to be Wade. And it's kind of funny talking to him in the clubhouse. It's just, I'll be ready. Don't worry about it. I'll be ready. I'll be fine. We're just taking it slow on purpose. I know how these spring trainings go. They're all meant for me. This is what it's for. It's all going to be okay. And I trust Wade. He knows his body. He knows what it takes to get him ready for a big league season. And then, you know, beyond those three of, okay, those are definitely your traditional starters, you would think. Then you've got the likes of Joe Ross. You've got the likes of Bryce Wilson, Jacob Junis, Aaron Ashby, Robert Gasser, that are all sort of in this stew trying to figure out, okay, what you got, Jansen Junk, all these guys that can get multiple outs, can start games, can come out of the bullpen, but are meant to be getting, you know, 2-3 up downs and help this team out in the pitching staff. So I think you'll see, you know, you'll have those leverage guys, Williams, maybe you'll have an eighth inning guy in Pyomps. Maybe it'll be Uribe this year instead. Then you've still got Peguero, who's optionable. You've still got Hobie. You've still got McGill. And other guys that could be making their case are like J.B. Bukauskas, who we'll be talking about, who's had a fantastic spring so far. Right now, though, after we got all that out of the way talking about Wade, let's talk about William Contreras. And this week, I was just so impressed with what Pat Murphy had to say. You may have seen me tweet it. I want you to hear straight from Pat Murphy himself on what William Contreras is trying to do, trying to get to this extra gear. And there's a bit of a challenge on him from the Brewers coaching staff because he wants it. Here's what Murph had to say.
When you say he's already so good, I agree he's upper echelon player in the world. And I believe he can be the best in the world. But that's what those guys do. They love practicing, getting better. You know what I mean? It's not like you just get to a level and stay there. You know, like, excellence is every freaking day. You know what I mean? Some way, shape, or form. And he's that. He wants more. He has elite drive and determination. And that's the key. Like, everybody wants it. Everybody has the desire. You know what I mean? But the determination is when you stick with it. You know what I mean? When you get through the rough times. He has that. He has that ability to get through rough times and continue that drive. He knows no other way. So it's going to be hard to stop him.
Murph has also hinted that William wants to catch even more than he caught last season. And he understands why people continue to underrate him and try to say, oh, well, he was always a hitter back in Atlanta. He's not, you guys just put your magic sauce on him. And he's like, no, this guy was always a great catcher, was just never given the opportunity because they had Travis d'Arnaud at the time. And it was we can't fix his catching technique. Maybe he'll be as good as his brother one day, but it probably won't be for us. That's how he feels Atlanta looked at developing William Contreras. I mean, last season, William, he wants to catch even more. He caught 108 games last year. He DH'd in 29 more as the starter, and then he came off the bench for four of those as well. So you do the quick math in your head. That's 137 games that he started as the primary catcher. That's including DH'ing. He wants to catch more, and he expects to be in the lineup every single day. And if I may add on to this as well, there are obviously easy goals to set for catchers, and David Adler and the MLB.com fellowship, diversity fellowship, Melanie Martinez did a great story on this in Spanish, but it's obviously translated in English. But talking to William the other day, it's on MLB.com, really encourage you to read it. Fantastic stuff. William doesn't care about the awards. He wants to be the best. He just simply wants to be the best. And I know it's a cliche. I know we've all heard that from athletes, but he means it. I mean, the dude, it's going to be fun. The dude's walking in full Jordan catcher's gear, Air Jordan catcher's gear. There's only one guy who was allowed to wear that stuff back in the day, and you know who it was. Now William is trying to say, I'm that guy. I'm going to be that guy. I am going to be the best catcher in the National League. And one way fans can help, it's crowded. It's a very, very elite position. It is a crowded spot. Get him to the All-Star game. Get him to Texas. Let's make that a campaign to prove that William Contreras is the best catcher in the National League. This is something that the fans can do to help him out because I know JT Realmuto is still probably the best as of now. You got to go after the throne to get it. But you still got so much talent behind the plate in the NL. You've got Will Smith in Los Angeles. You got Gabby Moreno with the Diamondbacks. You've got Sean Murphy with the Braves. You have so much happening. We're in really a golden age for catchers, if you ask me. And William Contreras is trying to get his name in that regard and trying to make sure that he can continue to grow the way that he grew last year as an everyday player. He's still only going to be 26 years old this year. He is still going to be so young, so moldable, and ready to attack. A 289 hitter. He was a leading hitter on the Brewers last year. 825 OPS. Yes, grounded into a lot of double plays. But the Brewers feel when he's trying to hit homers is when he's hitting into double plays. He's got so much talent up the middle, so much talent to all powers, power to all fields. Ozzie Timmons was telling me about that. He's like, he doesn't have power to one spot. He can pull on a breaking ball. He can hit a fastball the other way. He is one of the best power hitters when he's not trying to hit for power. So that's what they're really trying to hammer home with William Contreras in 2024. Right now, I want to shift gears to another backstop. Into Eric Haas. Eric Haas obviously is in a weird spot given he was originally signed to be the backup catcher and then the Brewers signed Gary Sanchez. And now it seems like Gary is healthy. And we talked about that briefly, but I wanted to get to know Eric a little bit, what the process has been like for him learning the position the Brewers way, if you will, with Walker McKinven and Charlie Green. And that Detroit cliche you hear all the time about him as well, being a Detroit kid, the lunch pail, all that fun stuff. So let's take a moment, listen to Eric Haas here on Brewers Weekly.
Brewers Weekly on WTMJ.
Welcome back here on Brewers Weekly. I'm Dominic Catronio. Please be joined by Eric Haas right now here at spring training. And man, it's been quite a winter for you. Now you're here, landed with the Brewers. Take me into the process of when the Brewers called, what you had known about them, and how excited you were to join this team.
Yeah, first time as free agency, you know, kind of testing the waters and whatnot, but kind of easy for me, just kind of slid it into a good routine and knew I obviously had some adjustments to make, just kind of got back to the drawing board. So, you know, from that aspect, just kind of take care of what I can control at that point, you know, and then once the signing period opened up, you know, the Brewers were one of the first teams that hit on my agent, so right away it was, you know, very exciting for me. I know they have a track record of not only developing pitchers, but catchers as well. You know, you alluded to that earlier, but definitely exciting. You know, some other interest from other teams, but this was a clear choice that, you know, I wanted to pursue.
It sounds like the free agency world for catchers has become, you know, Brewers could be a hotbed kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned what you had heard. What were those like expectations to what you reality of working with Walker, working with Charlie, working with this whole staff?
Oh, it's been great. You know, we have a clear slot every day where, hey, this is what I see, this is what I think you can get better, and you know, we just attack it. You know, so it's starting to show up in the game a little bit. It's been a little bit of a learning curve. You know, trying some things out and being okay with failing there, but the environment they create is great. It's you know, we think these adjustments can help. We don't really care about these games right now. So from a competitive standpoint, it really irks me, but so I feel like I'm kind of taking a step back, take a couple steps forward kind of thing, and I'm excited about it.
What are some of those things that you've learned from as far as the technique of the position? You know, you've kind of watched the position change from, all right, you got to be 2 feet down, you got to block everything, to now we're 1 foot down, get low. Mm-hmm. What are the technical things about the position?
Yeah, nothing that I've never really heard before, really nothing outside of the box. It's just basically, you know, putting yourself in the best position to accomplish the play at hand, you know, not just kind of being stuck in, you know, one stance, one way of doing things, you know, just multiple ways to you know, different guys in the mound, you know, different game situations and things like that, and just becoming aware of when to do those things.
Right now, you're in a position with this team that, you know, backup catcher, Gary's here, you're in this competition, you're in this maybe a three-man weave, if you will, with mm-hmm. you, William, and Gary, if things work out. How do you take this, you know, with 3.5-4 weeks left of camp to say, you know, just going to get my work in and see what happens?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not competing against Gary and William, you know, I'm competing against myself, so that's the biggest thing. You know, I know that if I go out there, you know, handle what I can handle, you know, I think that I have a lot to offer a big league team, and, you know, yeah, I'd love it to be here.
You've caught a lot of these guys already, whether it be bullpens or lives or in games. Is there any pitches or particular guys that you were like, okay, I finally got to see that from behind the plate, you know, guys come to mind like Devin's changeup or mm-hmm. things like Freddie's fastball on the ride? Like, is there anything that sticks out to you about this staff?
Yeah, I mean, just the quality in general. I mean, there's not really a downside to any of it. You know, fortunately, I've gotten to face a couple of these guys, you know, on the other side, and I'm happy to be, you know, catching them and whatnot. But just the attention to detail, you know, from day one, bullpens and everything, the focus was very clear, and guys were executing, and, you know, that makes my job easy. So it's been great.
Anybody asks about you, it's always comes back to Detroit, always comes back to the lunch pail attitude. You've heard all the cliches about it. I mean, I think the best way to answer this question is, like, where's it come from? I mean, it, for somebody who's visited Detroit, I love the city and love Michigan, but I think sometimes it gets overplayed. What does it actually mean to bring that, you know, lunch pail Detroit attitude to, you know, a big league ball club?
Man, it's kind of hard to encapsulate it. You know, same thing. It's just, you know, a sweat of the brow town. You know, I just grew up, you know, if you want something, you got to work your ass off for it. And that's just kind of how I've attacked life. And, you know, that's kind of afforded me all of my opportunities to even stay in this game. So no reason to change it now.
Best of luck, good health the rest of the year. Thanks for taking some time.
Awesome, thank you.
He's really easy to root for, I tell you, man. He's going to have a chance to make things very difficult for the Brewers. So let me, I explored this last week, but just to reiterate, I'm not expecting the Brewers to roll with three catchers. I would be really surprised, quite frankly. I see a scenario, if they roll with three catchers, let's talk about it, okay? Your starting lineup's obviously going to have Yelly in left, Churio in center, let's say Frelick in right, Ortiz at third, Adames at short, Terang at second, and Hoskins at first, Contreras behind the plate, Gary is your DH, okay? So your four bench players in that regard, you've got Eric Haas still there as your backup, if you will. He still is going to take a spot up on the bench. I imagine Jake Bowers makes this team because he's the only other true first baseman on this club, and he doesn't have any options. So I see Jake Bowers being another guy on the bench as a backup. Then you've got the decision to make in the fourth outfielder position. Is it going to be Joey Weimer, who can hit lefties as he continues to rework his swing, or is it going to be Garrett Mitchell, given his speed and his talent and the pull side power that he possesses? So you got your fourth outfielder is certainly a candidate. Then you need your utility infielder, and that's all you get. That's the peril of having a three-catcher setup. You don't get as much flexibility, which is why it's so important for Jory Ortiz to be able to play third, short, and second, why it's so important for a guy like maybe Andrew Monasterio to make a club who can play third, short, and second. Or if they want a left-handed bat, and Oliver Dunn, he's already on the 40-man roster. He is optionable, though. He's had a good camp. He can play second base more than he can play third base. That's something to think about there as well. Owen Miller still has one option here, as we talked about last week. But that last spot would have to be a utility infielder, given you're already using Jake Bowers primarily as your backup first baseman, because we know there will be days that Rhys Hoskins is DHing to give his knee a rest. And in those days, Bowers will be playing first base. Rhys will be DHing, and that would put Gary either behind the plate, which means you're taking William out of the lineup. I don't think that's going to happen. William's behind the plate, and Gary's on the bench, and you'll have two catchers sitting on the bench. So you'll have Haas and Gary sitting on the bench with the fourth outfielder and your utility infielder. That gets crowded fast. That's why I don't think the Brewers are seriously going to do three catchers. I know they're considering it. All options. This team does not make decisions until they need to. Let's continue with some conversations. Let me play some clips here from Freddy Peralta. He is starting again this weekend as well. And Freddy, obviously going to be opening day. Are things changing? Are things bigger? He looked good against the Diamondbacks last Sunday. Just a couple of pitches he wanted back. He got three up downs, continued to build, and continued to get his work in. Here's what Freddy had to say after his start last Sunday.
Of course, yes. But like I said before, for me, I just think about my job. My job is do the best that I can do on the mound the day that I get the ball, you know, just get the give the opportunity to the guys to win the game. Just do my best on the mound. That's it. That's what I'm going to try to do as always. And I'm not thinking about on the first, the fifth, you know, just to help the team to win.
He talked about, you know, now that he's the ace, if you will, but it doesn't matter. And he has done opening days before. He did the home opener last year, if you don't remember. He did the home opener against the Mets a season ago. And he expects to have opening day at New York this year, which, and it could line up, if the Brewers want to do this, that if there's no rain in New York that opening weekend, that, you know, Freddie would start on Thursday. So off day, one day of rest. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, his fifth day would be Tuesday, and he could, if they wanted to, maybe they want to give him an extra day just to build it out, He could start the home opener as well on Tuesday. He could do opening day and the home opener, but that remains to be seen if they keep him on that 5 day or if they want to give him that extra 6 day and use five different arms. They don't need to use all five starters for the first 2 weeks, but then right after all of those off days, because you have the rainout day on opening day, then you have an off day on Monday coming back home, then you have an off day on Thursday before the Mariners, then 13 in a row. So they want to make sure that they're good to go for that fifth starter spot by that time when they're headed to Baltimore the following week. Freddie also talked about, you know, there are some certain benchmarks for starters these days, and now that he's going to be getting the most starts, and he's going to be the guy maybe getting to that 200 innings mark, right? That's a rare mark these days. It's kind of like a 300 hitter. If a pitcher throws 200 innings, that's exceptional. Here's what Freddie had to say about that.
I feel very good. I feel very good, and that's the goal for me. I want to get there. I know I can do it. I have to be day by day because this is a game that, you know, you need to feel good every day. Or not, you're not going to feel good every day, but you have to try. You have to do the little things mm-hmm. outside of the field to make, you know, to make me myself feel good. And I think it's a challenge. It's a big challenge that we all had in baseball, and we just have to follow that to get to that point.
We know he has opening day, and we know he's going to do his best, Fastball Freddy, and everything looks pretty tight right now. I'm excited to see what Freddy can do leading this staff. I think he's ready for it. And to reiterate, if you have not seen what the Brewers social team and what Sophia Minert and what everybody put together about Freddy being from Moca, Dominican Republic, go to the Brewers YouTube page. Please watch it. You will love it. It was so well done. I was just so impressed with everybody as the content continues to climb, and it's so good. I really appreciate the guys kind of letting us in a way, and to see the Dominican, and obviously coinciding with opening up the new complex there in the Dominican as well. It's a priority for the Brewers to find quality humans and develop them from Latin America, whether it be the Dominican, whether it be Venezuela, whether it be Nicaragua, like Carlos Rodriguez, whether it be wherever it may be. They take this stuff very, very seriously. So a really, really beautiful story. Would encourage you to check it out on the Brewers YouTube page. Let's continue talking pitching here. And very earlier in the week, I caught up with Robert Gasser last Saturday. Sat down, we talked for about 5 minutes, just talking about what his role is going to be, where he decides to fit in. Remember, Robert is not yet on the 40-man roster, and I have said, you know, I would use him as a starter right now. He's still got swing and miss stuff, but he's learning to thrive without velo. You know, this type of pitcher has kind of had a little bit of a comeback, right, with spin and deception and movement as opposed to pure velo blowing it by you. So Robert Gasser joining us here next on WTMJ. Made a great outing yesterday, Robert. Take us through the start, the first two innings, and what you're specifically working on.
Yeah, you know, it's early in camp. I'm still trying to, you know, adjust to those game environments a little bit. Some of my stuff's still a little errant, but I feel pretty good. Stuff's coming out really well. I like the fastball velocity right now. The shapes are good. The changeup has developed a lot over the offseason. I'm actually really, really trusted a lot right now, especially in, like, the lives. But like I said, the games are, you know, we're still trying to adjust to that game environment. But, yeah, yesterday it was good. There was a couple, you know, the stat line wasn't ideal, but, you know, there was a couple weak hits. You know, one double that scored a couple, but, you know, I was happy with it at the end of the day. You know, I got a couple punch outs, got Merrill, my former teammate, so that was a good one. You know, the fastball up and in wasn't intended to go there, but I was trying to give it everything I could to get him that time. But, you know, I talked to him, apologized, let him know it wasn't intentional.
Of course, facing the old friends back over there on the Padres side of things. What are the things that you know, after an outing like that or after a spring training outing, what are you immediately trying to look for? Or is it film? Is it your metrics? What do you immediately try to use to assess how it went?
More so, like, the mindset and, you know, how I felt during the game. You know, I'm still, like I said, I'm still kind of working through, you know, just getting into that competing aspect again, and, like, how do I, you know, go out and, you know, throw competitive strikes every opportunity I can. But, yeah, I think it's more so that, you know, the stuff's get there. You know, I'm fresh. I feel good physically. You know, it's early in the year. But, yeah, it's more so just, like, the approach mindset-wise. And, you know, that's kind of the focus right now, is, like, how do I hone in and get in there, like, you know, a good state there.
So when we were talking to you this time last year, first big league camp, getting to know everybody, just trying to get your feet wet, now you're really auditioning for one of these starter roles. A lot can change in a year, obviously. How do you approach this camp of your goals of trying to make this club?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is not to put too much pressure on myself in that, you know, at the end of the day, like, I am who I am. I'm here for a reason. You know, I'm confident in myself and in my ability, so I'm not going to put any too much pressure or try to do anything extra. It's more so just coming, showing up every single day and, you know, just doing what I do best. And, you know, if I get the ball, you know, do my best to fill it up and get outs.
One of the things you do best is get swings and misses, and the breaking stuff in particular. What are we rolling with this year, and how are you feeling about it coming out of the hand so far?
You know, like I said, the changeups improved. Last year was kind of a pitch that I wasn't really relying on, but this year I feel like it's something that I can go to against righties. Cutter, still working on a little bit of the location of it, but last year that's my, you know, that was my best pitch, something that I had a lot of trust in, so I'm pretty sure that's going to come around. Slider's really good right now. Got a little extra velo on it. It's breaking a lot, so I was happy with that. I got a couple swing and misses on it yesterday, and then the heater and the two-seam are good. I mean, I think yesterday I threw maybe one two-seam for a ball, and you know, that really excites me, especially against lefties, because, you know, if I got balls going in all different directions against them, it's going to, you know, make it really difficult for them to, you know, put solid contact on it.
So last year in AAA put together a great season, quite frankly, and you also got to be a little bit of a guinea pig in learning with the new ABS. What were your initial thoughts of it? Did you like it? Did you dislike it? Were there things that you could see it improve on?
ABS is good. I don't necessarily love the automated strike zone. I feel like there's, you know, the aspect of having a home plate umpire is kind of diminished, and the game feels a little slow, and, like, you know, there's really no life to it except for, you know, just like what the strike zone says. But the challenge system is great. I love it. It adds a little extra gamesmanship to it. You know, it's like, when do you use them? You know, if you burn them early, you know, your team's kind of at a disadvantage if the other team has them. And I'm 4-for-4 career on my challenges, so you know, I'm pretty confident knowing what's a strike and what's not.
We're gonna keep track of that. You've got some really good pitch framers here now, so you got to keep an eye on that kind of stuff. Okay.
Oh yeah, I love that stuff. That's the best.
All right, lastly, the flow. We got to talk about the flow. I can't let you escape here. As a bald dude, I am a little bit jealous. Got a little bit of hair envy here. Just letting it go. What's the deal here?
You know, yeah, we're just letting it go. There's a little bit of negativity, so I think I might keep it as long as I keep hearing all the negative comments. But no, it's more so it's just being myself. You know, I've had it before. I like it. It's fun to take care of, I guess. And you know, I feel like it just adds a little more personality to myself.
It's been like 6 years since I've had hair, but appreciate the time, man. Best of luck, good health, and the rest of the year.
No problem. Thank you.
Can't a man dream? Why not? I mean, well, I ain't growing it anytime soon, but it looks good. You'll see Robert Gasser coming up this weekend as well, as the Brewers have got some split squads. If you're not familiar, the Brewers are headed to Vegas. Vegas, baby. They're playing tonight, Friday night, the 8th, and Saturday afternoon in Vegas, part of Big League Weekend with the Oakland A's and Major League Baseball. I want to reiterate something I mentioned last week. This isn't because the A's were going to Vegas, right? This has been something the A's have been doing for a long time, and Vegas has been using this weekend as a way to court Major League Baseball to say, we want a team, we want a team. And the A's would go just because they were willing to, while they still had plans to stay in Oakland. Obviously, that has changed in the time that this event has grown and grown and grown. A few of the players that you'll see there in Vegas, there is no Brewers side of broadcasting of it, but you'll hear the A's calls of it up there as well. You may hear a familiar last name up there too. But Sal Frelick's going to be there. Willy Adames is going to be there. Brock Wilkins going to be there. Joey Weimer. It's a good list. You'll see the lineups coming out today. And Pat Murphy will be up there as well. We joked with him if Vegas was his kind of town. And, he's a dinner and a show kind of guy. He'll go see it. He's not going to be spending time in the slot machine area, if you get what I mean. So I hope they enjoy their time on the Strip up there in Las Vegas and enjoy it. Let's continue some pitching conversations here. Got a chance to catch up with J.B. Bukauskas. And backstory here, I've known J.B. since 2019. And I've known of him back since 2015 when he was a freshman at UNC, and his roommate and one of his guys that he was really close with on that team goes by the name of Zach Gallen. I'm known Zach for a long time. They were teammates at North Carolina, and through Zach and through JB, JB and I were together in AA back in the Corpus Christi Hooks in the Texas League in the Astros organization. So cool to see him over here in Milwaukee, and wishing for him the best. We kind of get into the fourth option stuff a little bit too, because you know, I kind of was the one that broke that news that no one in the media knew that he had a fourth option. And it's kind of a tough process to make public. And we talked a little bit about that. The slider looking as great as it did last week against the Diamondbacks. I know we will see him multiple times in the next few days as he continues to try to make a case to be in this big league bullpen. So JB Bukauskas joining us next.
All right, JB, it's been a really, really winding road for you to get to Milwaukee, and you're healthy, and the slider looks good. So let's just start there. The slider looked great on Sunday in Scottsdale. What are you trying to accomplish with that pitch right now in spring training?
So we had talked about last year in the offseason just kind of throwing it for strikes more often. So that's just been the main focus this year. We kind of made a couple of mechanical adjustments, Jim and Hooky, and just getting to kind of clean those things up. But for the most part, it's just been trying to keep it on plate more. Last year, I don't feel like I did a great job doing that. So I think this year, you know, that's been a big emphasis, whether it gets hit or not, just like being over the plate more. It's going to hopefully be more beneficial, you know, get more swing decisions, that type of thing. So just been really focusing on that. So
are we still rolling with just sinker slider? Are we trying to throw any wrinkles right now in spring training?
I have the changeup kind of have played around with in the past. I just didn't have a lot of confidence in it. Didn't throw it for strikes that often. It's still there, I guess, kind of mess with it, but I haven't been using it. For the most part, it's been sinker slider.
From this time last year to now, how does the body feel health-wise, and obviously what you went through during the season? You did make, you know, a couple appearances with the Brew Crew and then had to figure out, okay, do I finally have a healthy offseason? Take us through this process in the last, you know, calendar year.
I feel like, unfortunately, I have had the injury bug for a lot of my career. The staff here has been great, helping me kind of get back on the field and do things to stay on the field. That's been a big priority this year coming into camp as well, you know, with having that finger thing at the end of the year. Just trying to do everything I can to stay on the field this year. I feel like I'm in a good spot. Body's feeling really good. I'm really happy with where I'm at physically. Just going to try and keep the ball rolling with that.
Part of your story with this team and how you fit in with the club is that you were granted a fourth option. Folks maybe aren't super familiar with how that works and how, you know, excited were you to actually get that approved and be able to be someone that can go back and forth, and why some people will be confused, like, wait, you're okay with going to Nashville?
Yeah. I think it definitely can go both ways. Guys sometimes can be like, okay, well, I'm out of options now. I have to, you know, either be in the big leagues or you get that unfortunate call, we're not going to keep you. So having that flexibility, I think, just, you know, for me as a player, just lets me feel like there can be a little bit of room for error at times, and being able to go down and up, I think it just provides flexibility for everybody. So I look at it as an opportunity, you know, just another opportunity to make a case to help the team as much as I can. And the staff in Nashville and the guys in Nashville are great. So it's, you know, not a bad spot to go and, you know, play there as well. So, overall, I feel good about it. I think some guys might look at it like it could be a bad thing, but I don't view it that way. I just view it as, you know, another opportunity to, you know, make my case to, you know, try and help the big league team. So
let's talk a little bit about your journey. I mean, we go back to 2019 and Double-A together in the Astros, the team that originally drafted you. Then you're in a blockbuster trade for Zach Greinke, and since then it's kind of been all over the place. So now that you finally kind of have a chance to put your feet down here in Milwaukee, take us through what these last 4 or 5 years have been like.
Yeah, you know, I think everybody kind of has that ideal situation of like, okay, this is the team that drafted me, and it's like a perfect linear line to the big leagues. And I think in a lot of cases it's not that way, especially for myself, you know, whether it's trade, injury, whatever the case may be, DFAs. It's always going to be different than you think. There's always a plan, you know, in place, and just kind of going with it, you know, just trying to be ready every day and wherever that may be. It has been a long journey, and, you know, I've been really happy with my time here with the Brewers. So, you know, just looking forward to a good 2024. So.
Help all the Brewers fans pronounce your last name for them here on the radio so they can finally figure out how to say it.
It's pronounced Bukauskas, but I do know that it is a mouthful, and that's kind of why I go by JB. And I'm sure there are other nicknames floating around, but JB is pretty simplifies it.
Pretty easy to get that one. And finally, is UNC going to win it all this year? Finally, are you guys going to get it done?
Oh, yeah. Let's go Tar Heels.
Fantastic. Thanks for the time, JB. Best of luck.
Appreciate it.
And that slider, you should know, is a true slider. It's got vert. It dips. It's got nasty, nasty movement. And you pair that with a sinker, I mean, that's kind of all the rage these days. Sinker slider, if you can do that. He doesn't blow people away with 98 or anything like that, but he's got great movement. He throws it kind of from a lower slot, and he gets so much on it. It's something to monitor. And that fourth option, like we talked about, can keep him on that Nashville to Milwaukee shuttle. I want to get to a question here. I opened it up on Twitter. A couple folks reached out. This one about how are they going to fill 162 games in 9 innings? Starters, openers, how's it going to work? That kind of goes back to the first part of this pod, right, where it's going to be creative, and they're going to use options. They are going to use guys that are able to go back and forth. They're going to be using guys up and down. Now, maybe a guy like Robert Gasser doesn't necessarily make the club on opening day, but I can guarantee you one thing. There are going to be injuries. There is going to be somebody that needs to step up. There is going to be movement in that regard. I think you're going to see a lot of different guys start games, but on purpose for the Brewers, not because, oh my gosh, it almost reminds me of Moneyball with, you know, trying to replace Giambi and his production. It's like, oh, well, why has it got to be one guy? Why can't it be multiple guys? And that's how I believe the Brewers are approaching, okay, well, Burns is gone and Woodruff is hurt, so let's find a way to get creative with these innings that they're leaving departed. You know, it's hard to replace 200 innings like Corbin Burns has done the last couple of years. And try to get creative. I'm not expecting D.L. Hall to come right out of the gates and throw 200 innings. That would be very, very risky to do, but the Brewers are going to be smart and conscious, and they've got a lot of depth. And even a guy like Tyler Wasner, who pitched great yesterday in Glendale, even, you know, you've got other relievers, Evan McKendry, who you haven't really thought of all that much, that could be making splashes and making cups of coffee in the big leagues at some point. I think back to Peter Strzelecki, right? And like, no one had him on their bingo board to be in the Brewers bullpen in 2022, and he turned into a really important role in 2022. Obviously, he's been traded since then, but guys like that pop up all the time, and that's a big reason why some teams get successful. And bullpen is the most volatile position in baseball, because year to year, it's really hard to sustain and continue your production out of the bullpen. Let's also get to another question here. What do you need to see over the next couple of weeks of spring training to feel a lot better about opening day heading into the season? I'm still pretty confident with this team. I think I look at the Central, it's going to be so much fun. Anytime a national writer or somebody that's kind of been around, you know, I've been hanging out with Russ Dorsey a little bit. We had Tyler Kepner in camp. He did a great story on Jackson Churio, and he's got a great story on Pat Murphy. Whenever those guys are in town, I'm like, hey man, like, the Central's the one to watch this year. If you're not going to watch like one of the East divisions, right? We know the NL East with the Phillies and the Braves and the Mets, they're going to steal the headlines. And we know the AL East with the Yankees and the Orioles and the Blue Jays, and who knows what the Rays are going to look like this year, but the Rays should still be relevant, and the Red Sox being the Red Sox. But you know, we understand that those guys are going to hog it all, but look, we know LA is going to win the NL West. We can say that. We know that. So let's get some parity in the fact that legitimately, I stand by, I think all five teams can win the division. I really do. It's going to be fun. Now, as far as the question, what do you want to see to make you feel more confident? For me, I want to make sure that A, Reese is healthy, and I want to make sure that B, Gary Sanchez is healthy when it comes to important pieces of power that the Brewers need to make sure that they can keep up with the hitters. Because as I look around the division specifically, and I look up the middle for the Brewers, right, the up the middle, most important positions, catcher, short, center, second base, I look at that diamond, I look at other teams in this division, you can make the argument that the Brewers have the best up the middle in the division. Think about that for a second. Now, the Reds, you've got Tyler Stevenson behind the plate, you've got Ellie at short, probably Matt McClain at second, and Jonathan Nitti will be DHing. Then in center field will be TJ Friedl. That might be where they take the step back and lose to Jackson Churio. The Brewers have Churio in center, Willie at short, Terang at second, and then Contreras behind the plate. The Cubs, you got Yan Gomes, Dansby Swanson, Nico Horner. That's a pretty good up the middle defense right there. Center field is probably Bellinger now that he's been re-signed. I imagine he'll be playing the majority of his games in center, given they have Michael Bush over at first base. So that's pretty darn good right there, too. But the catcher, then you look at Yan Gomes, like, Yan Gomes, William Contreras, I'd take William Contreras. Cardinals, Gorman's great at second. Mason Wynn, still a rookie at short. Now it sounds like Tommy Edman might not be healthy for opening day in center field, so that puts a cloud on it, and you've got another Contreras behind the plate there. The Pirates are sneaky. You've got, if they want to use Henry Davis as a catcher, I don't think they do. You've got options behind the plate, but then you've got O'Neill Cruz is back at short. Reynolds is mostly playing left field now these days, so I don't think they're as good for the Brewers. But I would remind you, the Brewers still have a really great setup up the middle. And if you have those power guys, Reese and Gary, good to go, healthy, that should be a great complement to this team. So that's my number one thing that I want to see. I know it's going to be a weird year with the pitching, so be prepared for it. Get ready for it. Embrace the weird, okay? It's going to be odd. Let's get ready to wrap things up here. I did want to hear from Aaron Ashby after he pitched yesterday in Glendale. It was really kind of let us in a little bit about how he's feeling closer and closer to normal. So here's our conversation with Aaron Ashby after he exited the game yesterday. He went 2 2/3. He threw about 50 pitches and got the work in that he wanted to get in. Here's Aaron.
Objective was to get up 3 times, which we accomplished, and then get the pitch count up and just execute some good pitches, which I feel like we did today. Synced up for a couple there. There's a couple non-competitive misses, but less than last time. So overall, I think it was a good day.
It looked like the breaking stuff was getting over the zone at some points. Was that you were trying to do, get command of that? Or
mainly it was like commanding the fastball, like the sinker down into the glove side, and then throwing everything off that. So felt like the fastball command wasn't great in my last appearance, but was better today, and that kind of cleaned up everything else around the zone. Left a couple sliders arm side, but everything felt good. Changeup was good, curveball was good.
Is it still, the sinker still moving more than what it was maybe pre-injury? Still?
Yeah, there's still quite a bit of movement just horizontally, so trying to control that. It flattened out really nice there in that second inning. Well, I say flat now, like it felt really like normal. And then third, I kind of lost it again. So it's just repetition and throwing as many sinkers glove side as we can in the next couple weeks.
As the buildup continues, right, like what are the next logical steps do you feel like, and what's that communication like been given the role? Kind of seems like it can be in flux.
Mm-hmm. I think we either go 3 again or 4. I'm not sure what the scenario is going to be. Got to talk to Hookie and Murph and everyone and see what we got lined up for next week. But body feels good, arm feels good. So that's all I can ask for.
It's been, you know, a couple of outings, really, aside from, you know, the minor league stuff at the end of last year. It's been a couple outings in, you know, well over a year now for you. Do you, how close to, quote-unquote, normal do you feel out there? Like, do you feel like yourself?
Yeah, I think I feel more and more normal every start. Like, this is the most normal I've felt since I stepped off a mound in October of 22. So, I'm... You know, we keep making progress every single time. I say, like, oh, last time felt so normal, and then this time even feels more normal. So I feel like there's still progress to be had, but we're definitely going in the right direction.
Velo was pretty good, too. I mean, I think you had a 96 in there.
Yeah,
Were you happy with that?
Yeah, very happy. 6 felt good, and I think I wasn't looking up there the whole time, but I had seen the 6 when I turned around for that ground ball. So... yeah, it feels good. It was really connected and felt easier again today.
Pat Murphy agreed after the game as he continues to learn to throw without the same 97-98 that he used to had. But then to still turn around and see, okay, 96 is in there. Let's see if they can unlock it. And a reminder, as we had the conversation with Aaron Ashby in last week's full week of content, you know, he was just trying to get strength back this whole offseason, right? You don't go a year and a half not pitching and have it be a shoulder surgery and get your strength back. It's not like Tommy John, okay, where Tommy John, you're getting a brand new ligament and you feel good, and sometimes guys come back throwing harder. That timeline is going to take longer for a shoulder. So you would hope that it looks, as JB said earlier in the show, it looks linear. It never does. But you would hope that, okay, if he's flashing a 96 in spring training just once, He sat 94. Maybe as strength comes up, maybe he's going to be a guy that builds on the year. Remember how Jansen Junk was popping 96s and 97 at the end of the year last year in that game 162 against the Cubs. And he's certainly still in this mix as well. But the fact is, Aaron is going to get stronger. He is going to get better. He is going to get a feel for his pitches with reps. And spring training isn't long enough for his situation. But throughout the season, I think we're going to remember this conversation here in March. Maybe we'll look back in June or July and be like, wow, Aaron is starting to pop some 95s and 96s sitting there. And we'll see some 7s and 8s popping up on that scoreboard once again. So be patient with Aaron. I think that's how the Brewers are trying to preach it too. I still see a role for him in this big league club right now. But obviously the Brewers have plenty of options to choose from to see what they want to do with opening camp. It's wild. We're less than 3 weeks away. I can't believe we're already technically past the halfway point. And after this Vegas weekend, the Brewers have another off day on Monday, a handful of games next week, and then we got a night game on Tuesday against the Cubbies, and we'll be out there. And we got another Brewers week coming up live on Wednesday night, so we'll be sure to bring in new content for that as well. We'll get all the reaction from Vegas, too. But it's been a fun few weeks at camp so far. I really do appreciate everybody who's listened and hung out and tweeted and interacted with our content here on WTMJ. Plenty, plenty more to come. This is my favorite time of year. And I think this year is going to be a really big year for us here at WTMJ. So keep it locked. And we are your post-game show once the season starts as well. Brewers All Access is where you can find all of those shows if you don't want to listen live right here in your podcast feeds. So that's going to do it for this taped edition of Brewers Weekly. Again, thank you, thank you, thank you for everybody who's listened, reached out with the kind words. Hopefully see you down here in Arizona. A few folks have reached out and said hello. Really do appreciate that. If you see me, my short, bald, shiny head, just come say hello. Would love to say hi. Welcome you to my hometown. So I've had a great time and looking forward to the last 3 weeks-ish of camp. My name is Dominic Catronio. I will holler at you next Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Central on Brewers Weekly on WTMJ. Until next time, keep on swinging.